Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
I started a series when this thing began, the Sunday after Easter, on the blood has a memory. And I've been dealing with the blood system and the body and how God is so graciously created us, and the way that our body operates is in many ways symbolic of His love and what He does in our lives. And so I want to continue that today. And I apologize, y'all know how I am. I don't have everything wrote down, and so as things come to me, I have to say it. You know, remember, when we leave here, we're leaving which way? Out the doors here. We can't go there because the coronavirus will know if you pass this way. You know, if you pass somebody coming, you're like, oh, hey, they're going in. Let's go. Let's jump on them. And they will be with you. But if you're going out, they won't. They go, oh, we're all going the same way. No use in jumping on anybody. Everybody's going the same way. Let's just move. I don't understand that, you know, but that's what the CDC says, so that's what we're going to do. I'm not a scientist. And I'm not a doctor, but I did sleep in a Holiday Inn. As I was preaching this message, somebody did ask, what is Ronnie, a doctor now? And so they Googled some of my statistics, and they, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, he's right. Yes, I'm right. I do my homework. Amen. I tell our young pastors, our young preachers, I go, you cannot get up and just preach whatever you think. You got to be able to, if you're going to use some facts, you better use some facts. You better be able to go back to it, because people will Google you right there. Oh, no, that can't be right. Mm-mm. Google says right here, because you know Google knows everything. Yeah. Google knows everything. Hey, no, I'm not going to get, I'm just going to stir y'all up right here, and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to stir y'all up. For this service, we put on Facebook, and we placed an ad to let everybody know, and they rejected us because they didn't agree with our video of me. I said, I would be offended if I cared. I don't care. Amen. So, some of y'all will get fired up right now. Y'all be like on Facebook right now. No, put it down. Pay attention. You're not at home. Those of you that are home, do whatever you want to do, but keep paying attention. Those of you that are here, you're not. You know, I don't want to look down. Listen, the three people that was in the sanctuary here's what I saw as I preached, except for the two or three people that came in after the worship. Here's what I saw. The top of their head. And I'm preaching my guts out. And praise the Lord for Travis. He would be in the back. I don't know if that's his mother-in-law clapping that hard. Y'all know that is. Yeah. And I don't know if he was getting it or not. He would just every once in a while. So I'm hoping he was getting it. And every once in a while, I know Justin wasn't getting it. He was over there on his computer, and he'd go, amen. I was like, dude, that's not the right place to say amen. I know you're not listening to me. But it was on like a 10-second delay because he was watching on Facebook and applying to everybody and trying to keep up with everybody. And so let me just say, man, and I know I already said it, but our staff has done an amazing job trying to be engaging to you and doing. I mean, our secretaries, our maintenance custodian, everybody has just done a phenomenal job. And, you know, our custodians, man, if you've ever been here during the day, you go to the door and you like open it, and all of a sudden, you know, there somebody's there wiping it. I'm like, we're all here together. If we got it, we all got it already. Amen. So, and let y'all can tell I ain't had people here, because I just want to say, if you're in the car by yourself, you can take your mask off. Yeah. Now here, keep it on. But if you're in the car by yourself, I think it's safe. All right, but listen to me. And now I'm making light. But this thing has been serious. And please, those of you who have on masks, please don't think I'm talking about you, because you need to. Especially, hey, you don't have yours on. You had it on. You need to put it back on. I'm being for real. You've beat cancer. Let's make sure we're safe. Amen. And so I'm being for real. So, you know, but so if, and then there are some that are not comfortable. Listen, you're good, man. I mean, I'm not telling you to come. You do whatever the Lord leads you to do, because nobody can tell you except for you. So it's going to get better, and we're going to be at some point in time, we're going to be better, and it's going to be better, and we're going to be back to a new normal, which I hope is better than the old normal. Come on, somebody. All right, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, I want to talk to you today about the keeping power of the blood of Christ. Now, I know it's 9:15, but we don't have our family focus hour at 9:45, so I can preach however I long to. Now, I won't hold you too long. I got a lot of information. I got to go through it real quickly. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, if you're there, say amen. Oh, that sounds good. If you're not, say go ahead. You're still a heathen. You're still a heathen. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving a living God? If the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers would cause it to you to be clean, here's what I'm paraphrasing, how much more would the blood of Christ cleanse us once and for all, and cleanse our conscience from the dead works, and begin serving a living God? So let's pray. Father, help me to explain what you put in my spirit. Help me to convey the truths of your word and the truths and the parallels in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. So the blood is so important in the body. Now, I want to first talk about point one, if you're taking notes. I think it's on YouVersion also. But point number one is blood. I want to talk about blood poisoning. Blood poisoning. Blood poisoning is a non-medical term that usually refers to the medical condition known as sepsis. When you say blood, from my understanding, according to Google and some other research, according to that, blood poisoning is not a medical term, really. It is known as a sepsis, or there's another word that I can't pronounce, so I'll use sepsis. But most cases of sepsis is due to bacterial infection. Now, Pastor, what does this got to do with me? Hang on. Because blood poisoning occurs when bacteria enters your bloodstream in conjunction with another infection. Now, here's what I want you to get from this little point here, is that you won't develop sepsis without having an infection first. As we look at Christians, and if you, well, Pastor, we're not supposed to be the judge. You're right. But if you look at your own life and begin to understand that maybe you're lethargic in the spirit, maybe you're not well in your spirit, it might be because that there is an infection in your life called sin. It might be an infection that has gotten a hold of you. And if you don't get a hold of it, it will ruin your life. Because you won't develop this thing called sepsis if there's not first an infection. Now, here's the spiritual illustration. After a person is saved, after a person is forgiven, forgiven of their sins, right? If you're here and you've asked the Lord to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, then he has wiped your sin clean. But here's where some people get into trouble, because they feel like that if I'm saved, then I've never sinned since then, or if I'm saved, I've never been tempted since. That is not the truth. If you are saved and you've never been tempted, then you're dead. You are dead if you've never been tempted. The only time that we will not be tempted is when we are transfigured from this life to the next life. The only time, as long as we live in this life. Now, I'm not tempted every day, but there are times I'm tempted, right? God gave us his illustration. Christ was on the earth. Wait a minute, that was Christ. No, but the same blood now that flowed through Christ flows in us and through us because we belong to him. So Christ was tempted in every way, yet knew no sin. We can pretend that Christians never struggles. Our saints never sin. And that's what puts condemnation on Christians, because we say, if I was a Christian, I would not be tempted. That is not biblical. If you are saved, you're still human on this earth. And I know people go, well, I just pray so much, I'm so spiritual that I never get tempted. No, you're just crazy. And sometimes you get tempted to be crazy. All right? So that's not the truth. Once you got saved, since that time, you've never said anything wrong. You've never done anything wrong since then. You've never had a bad attitude. I would like to shake your hand, because that's just not possible. Sanctification, there is a theological word, but we don't talk a lot about it anymore, but it's still part of the Bible. Sanctification may have originated at some point in your walk with God. However, sanctification is the continual washing by the Word of God in our life and in your life. And without the Word of God, listen, I don't care who you are, you can be on the praise team, you can be the preacher, but if you don't get into this, if you don't read this, then you're not being continually washed. This word is what washes you. This is the water. This is the wash rag that washes you. And as long as you keep in this, it will continually wash you and make you whole. As we grow up in God, we should also be growing deep in his word. I'm not talking about so deep that you get stuck, but deep enough in his word that when things come and things come by, you don't get blown away by every wind of doctrine. The blood of Jesus saves you, and the grace of Jesus cleanses you and continue to cleanse you. I am cleansed today, not because the blood once washed, but the word continually washes my sin away. Well, the blood washes the sin, but you understand what I'm saying. So what are the effects of this bacteria? Infectious bacteria can make you ill. Just like infectious talk, infectious attitude, infectious behavior. You ever get around some people and you feel like you need a shower after you leave? Amen. I do that when I go into Goodwill. I can't take it. It smells. I feel like when I leave there, I'm dirty. I feel like I need a shower. I get that way with some people. Some people just talking to me. And you know, and what's so crazy is they can talk all of the spiritual talk. And they can talk Bible. Just because you talk Bible doesn't mean that you know the Bible. Just because you talk Bible doesn't mean that the Bible and the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life and now you're walking with Christ. Amen? Good preaching, Pastor. But even though that is one thing that Christ took away from us was sin, it's the very thing that tempts us from time to time. We have to keep ourselves close to the Lord because it gives us power over sin so that it will not reign in our bodies. so that it will not reign over our life. I can't help for thoughts coming into my mind, but I can help whether they stay there or not. And I fight it with the Word of God. I fight it through the Spirit of God. He said that when I have the bad thoughts coming into my mind or a wrong thought, the Bible says bring every thought into the captivity of Christ Jesus, and I'll remind myself of that. Bring it into captivity, and if it's not a good thought, I cast it out. Or try to cast it out and keep it out. Come on, somebody, and keep the good. Can you say amen? Now, I want to give you this because this is important. Now, this I got from a respiratory therapist. The most important life force is respiration, breathing in and breathing out. Blood carries these necessary elements of life. If you don't breathe in and breathe out, you're going to die. You have to have the exchange of oxygen and then carbon dioxide. You have to have that exchange for it to carry it to your body. Now, oxygen is fuel. Oxygen is gas to every part of your body, and carbon dioxide is the waste or is the exhaust. And so we breathe in the oxygen. We know this. We breathe out carbon dioxide, and it takes all the toxins out of our body. The oxygen goes to every organ. It goes to every part of your body. It delivers the oxygen that's needed, and then picks up the toxins and the waste and brings it back either to your lungs or to your kidneys or to other functions so that they can get them out. We breathe air is 21% oxygen, and oxygen is diffused into the blood in the lungs through a single cell thick wall. Now here's where it gets interesting for me. It is a single cell thick wall. Each red blood cell has four seats on the bus. Every cell of oxygen has four seats on the bus, and it carries four parts of oxygen to your body. It only has four seats. It can't get no more. It ain't a stretch bus. It ain't a short bus. It's four seats. All right? So as the O2 rich or the oxygen rich blood cells pass through or by our organs or tissues, the O2 is exchanged for the carbon dioxide in the four seats, and then it is returned to the lungs and so forth and exhaled. Now, here's cool. Carbon monoxide contains, our automobile exhaust contains carbon monoxide, and it mimics, I want you to hear it, it mimics both oxygen and carbon dioxide. So, you know, when people can't try to kill themselves by and they take them to the hospital, if they just do a look at them, or even put a little, I don't even know what that's called, but that thing on your finger, what's it called? What they said, because I couldn't hear it. So if they put that on your finger, it still registers the same, they just know it's full, that your blood is pumping. Now, if you take in, we all know this, if you take in too much gas, it takes up all the seats on the red blood cell. And which was designed for oxygen. Pastor, you're losing me. You're getting boring. I feel like I'm in biology class. What? You got to look at it through the Spirit. If you take in too much bad stuff, if you take in too much CNN or Fox or CNBC or I Hate Jesus, if you take in too much bad, then you won't have enough seats on the bus for the good, and you will not be healthy, or you will not be able to function. So the body thus gets more bad gas and very little gas. Patients often with CO or carbon monoxide poisoning often look fine. I almost had a Holy Ghost fit when I read this part. They look fine. Not until they take or draw the blood and put it under test do they see that the blood is bad. Now, I'm not going to look at nobody right now. Because you might be sitting in this church looking like you all that in a bag of chips and some government cheese. But what will really take place is when you're put to the test, what is it going to show? Well, Pastor, as I look at my own life, I really don't want anybody looking inside my life because I'm not there. But listen, church, the only way to help a patient who has too much bad gases in their life is to put them on 100% oxygen, and eventually more seats on the red blood cell bus are taken up by oxygen and less by carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide. Thus, the bad stuff, sin, can take over by creeping in while you still look like normal, teaching Sunday school, taking up the offering, being a greeter, being on the security team, or even on the platform. My God, somebody better preach. So you can let this creep in. So then, Pastor, how do I get over this? Well, if it's caught in time, the only cure is to pump 100% oxygen. And the only cure for you and me when sin comes into our life is 100% Jesus, 100% being in the presence of God. And that's why you need to be in the presence. See, I believe in church, man. I need to be in the house of God because I've done it. For 6 weeks, I've had to have church by myself. I can do it. But I can tell you, it's so much better when we come together in a group of people to get together and begin to lift up hands and begin to praise God. And the Spirit of God begins to move and the Spirit of God begins to come down. It's easier. It's better. It's 100% pure oxygen to my soul. That's why we need it. But what do you do about a person, Pastor? Point three. What do you do about a person who is spiritually alive but spiritually sick? Whew. We know about the saving power of Jesus' blood. But his blood not only removes sin, it continues to give us the power to overcome sin. See, we forget that. If the last time you asked God to forgive you or to keep you was when you got saved, then it's been way too long. It's been way too long. We are alive, yet bacteria enters our body and we have to have antibodies reintroduced into our bloodstream. As antibiotic is a chemical compound that inhibits or abolishes the growth of microorganisms such as bacteria, fungi, or protozoans, antibiotics either prevent something from growing or stop something from growing. This is the Word of God, the Spirit of God. It either prevents something from growing or it stops something from growing. I thank God. Listen, we've got a house full of former addicts, alcoholics, and others. We use those real quickly. We have a room full of those. But can I tell you that we've got a room full of also that God didn't have to deliver you out of a lot, but it's still the same. See, we go, well, you know, I'm going to run a little while, but get a good testimony. No. A good testimony is that you grew up in a family. Listen, my youngest daughter, which is right here on the front row, to God be the glory, and I bind the devil. God didn't have to deliver her from chewing tobacco. So glad. Or smoking, or doping, or being a hoochie. Right? He didn't. But here's what I want you to know, that the same power that delivered you from whatever you was is the same power that can keep you from ever even going there. And can I tell you that one is not better than the other? There's still the stakes takes the blood of Jesus and the grace of Jesus for you to be delivered. Can you say amen? Listen, church, we understand. You have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have been saved by the blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But you still need the antibodies of grace that can stop sin's promotion in your life. Sin will always try to find its way back into your body. Sin is always there. Listen, I was in 2 years ago, I believe it was in August, maybe three, I don't even know, remember now. But 2 or 3 years ago in August, I found myself in Miami, Florida, preaching a weekend meeting. So my schedule was I preach Friday night, I preach Saturday at noon, and then the church was going to go do something, and I was free the rest of the day. And then I had to preach Sunday morning. I was going to fly home Sunday afternoon. So I had a rented car, so I went out riding, and it's been a long, long time since I've been down on, what is that, Strip? No, not Alligator Island. On the beach in Miami. Miami Beach. So it's been a long time since I've been down Miami Beach. I started driving down Miami Beach, and I felt the pull. It's been 30 years since I've done anything like that. But I felt the pull. And I go, all right. I just got through preaching the Holy Ghost meeting. And I started to pull in. I went to pull into a steakhouse, and they were full. So I said, all right, let me go on. And I felt that pull. I said, no, I got to get out of here. Well, Pastor, you're just weak. No, no, no. I know what I've been delivered from. Now, it's been 30 years since I felt what I felt that day, or over 35 years. It's been 35 years since I felt what I felt. I wasn't married at the time, the last time I felt what I felt that day. And I said, oh, no, no, no. I went in off the beach and went in to like a Texas Roadhouse and just where they had got me a little steak there on the inland, because I had to get away from that area. Pastor, no, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you haven't experienced that yet. You can't go to some of the places you used to go to, because the Bible says in Genesis is that sin waiteth at the door. I love one translation says crouches at the door waiting for you to give them a way in, and as soon as you do, it's going to step into your life. And you got to battle and defeat that demon all over again. No, baby, not for me. When I feel that coming on and the Lord checks me, I got to remove myself from that situation. I'm not going to walk into a sin or a infected area when I know that I am vulnerable. Somebody needs to hear me. When I am vulnerable, I'm not going to walk into an infected area. I'm going to stay my distance. I'm going to stay away. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. And that's what some of you have done and are doing in this physical. But it works also in the spiritual. I'm going to put on my spiritual mask. I'm going to wash my spiritual hands. I'm going to take the antibacterial soap and let it be applied all over my body. And I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to enjoy Jesus, and I'm going to enjoy life, and I'm not going to let fear grip me. I'm not going to let fear make me a hermit. I'm going to be who God's called me to be. Come on, somebody. Not point four. Let me tell you something about sin. I had one person tell me one time, Pastor, I like that you preach on sin. You seem like you know a lot about it. I'm not sure if that was an accolade or a punch. I'm not sure. I said, thank you, I think. But I do know a lot about it. Why? Because I'm human. I'm 100% American man. Now, Pastor, what does that mean? Whatever it means for you. I'm 100%, baby. There ain't no in me. I am macho. That's right. I mean, look, anybody ever been to the gym with me? You get on the treadmill beside me, you don't know it, but we in a race. Laura Van Fleet said, you want to go run with me? No. Why? Because she's a runner. No. Oh, Courtney Pulley, did an easy 10-mile run. You want to run with me, Pastor? No. I'll run over you in a car. I go to the gym. The people don't know it. I'm in a race. Oh, I can do more than that. Ooh, they're going to have to slow down. Jesus, I'm getting tired. Oh, no, no, no. I got a little bit more in me. They don't even know it. And finally, I had to reach over and turn it off. That 78-year-old was kicking my tail. So let me tell you something about sin. You don't always, you don't want to mess with sin because you can't play or toy with it. Because sin will take you further than you want to go. See, for such a small word, there's a lot of packed in meaning in the word sin. Now, if you were raised like me, I'm 40, I'll be done here. If you were raised like me, anything that made you smile was pretty much sin. You laugh too much, oh, that has to be sin. Yep. But the Bible describes sin as the breaking of or transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. It's also defined as disobedience or rebellion against God, Deuteronomy 9:7, as well as independence from God. That's sin. Hebrews said anything that is not of faith is sin. We understand that the theological definition of sin is missing the mark. The original translation is to miss the mark of God's holy standard of righteousness. Now, we know that when it came into the world, the serpent, Satan, tempted Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed God. And the essence of the problem stemmed from the human desire to be like God. That's where it started from. So as sin, therefore, has its roots in idolatry, the attempt to put something or someone in the place of the Creator. That's what sin is. And nobody should have that place, not your spouse, not your children. I done told my wife, you know, listen, I'm not cussing, but I've told her, y'all can go to hell if you want to. I don't want you to. I'm going to do everything in my power not to help you not to go to hell. But if you're going to go, you're going by yourself. I'm not going with you. See, this would be a whole different conversation if Adam would have looked at his wife and go, I don't think so, woman. Well, he goes, hey, you want some of this? Mm-mm. No, I do not. God said, don't eat it. They could have had marriage counseling. Most often that someone in the place of the Creator is one's own self-will. So all sins are an offense to God, and they separate us from Him, according to Isaiah 59:2. Now sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Sin will cost you more than you wanted to pay. Did you ever notice that sin is progressive? That sin may start out as a daydream and end up in a nightmare. Sin may start out as a toy and you end up as a tool in the hands of the devil. It may start out with you just playing around with, but now it's your master and you're a slave to it. The best you can do is stay under the blood and in the word and in the body of Christ and away from sin. See, the problem is we used to ask, what can we do? What can we do in the word? Now we ask, what can we do in the world and still be saved? We used to ask, what must I do to be saved? Now we ask, what can I do and still be saved? Christ walked into everywhere the mercy seat. He walked where the mercy seat was and placed his blood on it for your sins and my sins. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you believe upon the Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps you until you come into the fullness of His kingship. All right? The Holy Spirit is not just for Pentecostals. You think that the Holy Spirit is only for to make you look like a chicken. Make you jump and dance and fall out. That is not what the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is for. That might be effects of it, but the Spirit does more than just move you. It keeps you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When Christ's blood hit the mercy seat, every spiritual blessing you receive is because his blood is on the mercy seat. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. Huh? I think I'll say it one more time. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. You are here, according to verse 6, as a product of God's grace, as a product of based on the purchase of Christ Jesus. Every time Christ's blood is applied, it brings praise to the Lamb. Yes, the blood of Jesus saves, but his blood also redeems, it restores, it renews, and it revives. It's hard to wrap my mind around how a sinless God could love a sinful person like myself, but it's all because of God's amazing grace. See, now listen, I'm going to wind it down. How do I get this redemption? Do I just pray that prayer that you pray every week, Pastor? Every Sunday, does that make me saved? Well, yes and no. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. That yes, it does bring you into a saving position. But if you didn't mean what you just prayed, you might as well say abracadabra, open sesame. You might as well say poof the magic dragon, because it ain't going to work. But if you, according to Romans 10:9, if you believe what you confess, you shall be saved. Amen. Well, how do I know if I believe it? Was there a change? Is there a change? Are you willing to change? See, all right, I ain't going to go there. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus. Then in verse 11 it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. He didn't just save you, he promoted you. Did you hear that? He didn't just save you, he called you out. He didn't just save you, he sanctified you. He didn't just save you, he built a hedge around you and called you his own. He put together plans for your life. Too many people just think that Christ just wants to save us from hell. And if that was enough, thank you, Jesus. But not only does he want to save me from hell and leave me to my own, no, but he wants to save me from hell, but also save me from me. He wants to save me from me. He put, according to Romans or John 10:10, he put life into my life. He wants to order your steps. If we would have been in, it would have been enough that he just cleansed me. But he cleaned me up. It's enough that he has a place for me at his table. But he wants me to be at his side at his table. His grace keeps me every single day. Being saved is so much more than just being forgiven. I'm forgiven, but I'm saved. Come on, somebody. Before we dismiss this service, I don't want you to leave this place without having the opportunity to pray. Whether for salvation or whether for you to get things right with God, would everybody just bow your heads with me? Because only you and the Lord know where you're really at. So if you're in this place today or you're watching online, and you don't know Jesus, and you want to invite him into your life, would you slip up your hand? I promise I'm not going to embarrass nobody. Hallelujah. Well, maybe you're here and you've allowed some bacteria into your life. And if that's you, come on, just lift both hands all over this building and let it pray over you. If you raised your hand at home, let me lead you in this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my lack of attention to my spiritual life. Cleanse me and make me whole today. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. And as of today, I'm in right standing with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Man, it's so good to see you in the house of God. You're dismissed. Don't forget to go out the side doors here. God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you next Sunday or Wednesday night.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.